Hey, everyone, stand with us. We're going to worship.
Before I bring my need, I will bring my heart. Before I lift my cares, I will lift my arms. I want to know you, I want to find you in every season, in every moment. Before I bring my need, I will bring my heart.
guys can be seated.
Deeper. Let's thank the band for their work. Actually, it's not their work, it's their pleasure to praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're so glad that you're here today. A couple of things I want to share with you first off this morning. Last week I had my head shaved in the first service for the Coleman Race for the Cure, and they went and canceled the race. I think the reason was is because on Thursday I delivered Friday I delivered the money to them. And you should never ever pay somebody before you do something. But it was great to raise. We raised a little over time happened. They've had some other difficulties, but I didn't have to tell her what I've had to tell other people. I've had other people in the past that have accepted Jesus as their Savior, and then something bad happens, and they say, why did this bad thing happen after I accepted Jesus as my Savior? And my answer for every one of those was, well, Jesus knew this was going to happen, and he worked overtime to get you so that you would be equipped with his Spirit and his strength and his courage in order to get through this prior to this event. And it was so wonderful to hear her say that we know that we would have no hope if we were still practicing our old faith. And what a blessing that is. Also, don't forget, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have the Watoto Children's Choir here from Uganda. And they will be, Dina, what time is that service? We're doing one service, right? At 10:30. And then we're going to have a fellowship dinner afterwards. Our Kachin brothers and sisters from downstairs are going to be coming up with us. So there'll be a huge crowd here, you know, with our 120 and their 100 or so. It'll be a nice crowd, and it'll be a blessing to hear these kids that come all the way from Uganda to sing praises unto the Lord. But before we begin, will you bow with me in prayer? Father God, we do thank you for this day and for the joy that is ours, for what you have laid before us, and for the opportunity, O Lord, to grow in perhaps the most difficult of all the fruits, the most difficult of all virtues, and that is to grow in patience. Father God, touch our hearts, and I pray especially, Lord, today for the Dooley family and what they are experiencing right now. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you also give us to touch many lives. I think about Coleman Race for the Cure next Saturday as we're a part of the Miracle Ride here in Indianapolis. The following weekend when we host the City Spring Festival and have an opportunity to show a loving, caring face to thousands of people within our community. Father, we know that it is our responsibility to plant seeds, and we ask, Lord, that you would continue to give us ways in which to plant seeds, and you will add the increase. Lord, help us always to be faithful. This is my prayer, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my original premise that I presented to you at the beginning of this series was that if you want to step away from the fast lane actions, and if you want to step away from the fast lane life that you're living, you must first change the way you think. If you're not thinking correctly, you can't act correctly, because, you know, the Bible tells us as a person thinks, so is he or she. So that was the original premise. We have to change what we think. But in order to cement that way of thinking, we have to develop a character of patience. See, I've shared with you the past several weeks about some strategies to bring your life out of the fast lane in regards to relationships, in regards to work, in regards to time, recognition, and money. But the real heavy lifting that any individual must do in order to change their thinking and change their life is to develop patience. Now, before we jump off into this message, let me give you some good news and bad news, and let me let you decide which you're going to get first. How many of you, by show of hands, want the good news first? Let me see your hands. Okay, how many of you want the bad news first? Okay, you are right on track with the first service, because they wanted the bad news. And the bad news is this: patience is difficult to develop. And even some badder news, and I know for all of you English majors there's no such word, but the badder news is that in order to develop patience, we often are only develop it when we go through trial. Now, the good news: developing patience is an inside job with its beginnings with God and your relationship with Him. That means that it all is going to happen within you. And how that happens is the Scripture tells us that patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask you this question. An apple tree, what kind of fruit does it produce? Apples. That's good. Every round of applause. But let me tell you, you always have to add something to that, and that is time. Think about this, a pear tree. What kind of fruit does a pear tree bring forth? Pears. But let me tell you, there's one other thing that's going to be added to that. They always produce pears in time. Now, let me also tell you that the surrender to and a life lived in the Holy Spirit will bring forth patience, but it will also come in time. Patience is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it requires our cultivation, but let me tell you, it will always occur over time. Now, patience, just the word, I don't know about you, but it's just enough to remind me that I haven't arrived. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. You will sometimes struggle with being patient. It doesn't matter whether you're a kid. It doesn't matter whether you're a senior adult. There are times when other people get to you, when somebody gets under your skin. Amen? Recently read a story about about this story when I heard about a guy who had his car stalled in heavy traffic, and just as the light turned green. Now, I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but it's happened to me. I've driven some beaters in my day, and where the light turns green, you press on the gas, and boom, the car goes dead. What happened to this guy? And of course, he puts it in park and tries to start it again. And the entire time he's trying to start the car, there are dozens of people behind him. What are they doing? They're laying on the horn. And in spite of his best efforts to get the car started, it wouldn't start that the entire time that the line was green. And the people behind him never slacked off the horn. And he finally, after the light turns red, puts his car in park, goes back to the guy behind him and says, "You know, I'm having trouble getting my engine started. How about we do this? Why don't you go to try to start my car, and I'll sit here and I'll blow the horn at you." Now, I wish I had the guts to do that. But that is quite often the picture of how patient we are as a culture. Here's an interesting statistic that I found in USA Today just a few months ago. Did you know that the annual cost of running a red light in medical bills and car repairs in the United States, running red lights costs us $7 billion a year? And listen to this statistic. On average, all of that hurry, on average, that only saves us 15 seconds in our journey. Isn't that amazing? We are a nation, we are a culture that doesn't understand patience. And there are few virtues that you and I need more, and few virtues that are harder to come by. Several years ago, I was sitting with a friend of mine, a pastor friend from Evansville. We were at a pastor's conference in Daytona Beach, Florida. I know, tough duty, right? But we were at a pastor's conference in Daytona Beach, and we got up early, and we had gone into a little diner in Daytona Beach, and we'd asked to sit around the corner, so we didn't know who was in there and what was going on. But after a few minutes, my buddy wanted a refill on his drink, and he said, "Where's our waitress? She's doing a terrible job." Well, she'd only been gone really a minute or so, and I responded to my friend, "Larry, you are too impatient." And he said, "Pastor Jeff, you are right. Patience is not my strong suit." Now, let me tell you, I was thinking the exact same thing that he was, and I was really glad he said it before I said it. But we learned later on that she was the only, since we were there so early, she was the only waitress that was there, and she was doing her very, very best, but we were still impatient. I memorized a little ditty several years ago, and I've always enjoyed it. It goes like this: patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Seldom found in woman, but never found in men. Now, you ladies laugh, and probably way too true. And I would hazard a guess that I am not the only impatient person here today. I found this test recently to determine whether you're an impatient person or not, so I thought I'd just give you this test to see what you have to think. Now, you keep track yourself, and you can answer whether you are an impatient person or not, but if you are too impatient if you have ever left a restaurant because the server took too long to take your order. You are too impatient when reading a bedtime story to your child, you've skipped a page or two to expedite the process. Guilty. You are too impatient if you've put your makeup on or tied your necktie while driving to work. And if you've done both, you've got another problem. You are too impatient if, while at a wedding reception, you've wanted to reconfigure the line of the buffet. That's me. You know, I want to be first. You know, you are too impatient if you've ever cut through a parking lot in order to skip a red light. And you're too impatient if your children think that their first names are come on, hurry up, and let's move it. Now, are any of those a reality in your life? We are impatient people, are we not? But I will tell you this, one sign of a growing Christian is that we become more and more patient in life. Remember I told you it takes time. And our scripture, look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and what? Patience. See, the Bible calls us to exhibit patience in every area of our life. It is actually a sin to be impatient. In fact, the book of Galatians says that one of the signs that a person is godly and spiritual is if they have developed patience. Galatians 5:22 says, the byproduct of a spirit-led life is patience. But why is it so hard to develop patience? Why is it so hard? Well, let me tell you that one of the reasons it is so hard is developing patience. Patience is contrary to human nature. Just by the simple fact that if one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience, should tell you that the fruit of a sinful nature must be impatience. That's who we are. We're impatient because we're sinful by nature. Patience is not something that we are born with. When a baby wakes up in the middle of the night and is hungry and its diaper is wet, it doesn't lay there and say, oh, well, Mom and Dad have had a tough night, and I think I'll just wait for a more convenient time until I need something to eat or get my diaper changed. That never happens. You know, that baby's going to be screaming because they're wet and because they're hungry. This last week, we were watching our nine-month-old, our newest grandson, and he is a monster. We've got members of the other side of the family that are 6'9", 6'10". He's already in the 99th percentile in height and weight and everything else. And this kid eats like 20 times a day. And so we watched him all week while my son and daughter-in-law were laying on a beach in a little island off of Puerto Rico. You know, tough duty. Friday, and we loved having him. Friday night, as we're hugging the mom and dad, my son and my daughter-in-law, we put him in the arms of Mom, and she's got tears. First time they've been separated from this new little baby. And thank you so much. And then, oh, we loved having him. Next time we'll be happy to watch him. When the door closed, we went, oh. Gail looked at me. She says, I'm finally going to get a whole night's sleep. You know, and you know, that's the way we are. Where there's things we like, and you know, but that baby, all week he wanted attention. Now, we're not born patient. It's our nature to be impatient. The second reason that we struggle with impatience is because of hurry. Our culture is in a constant hurry-up mode. The old Eagles song that we sang several weeks ago, life in the fast lane, what's the next line? Guaranteed to lose your mind. And we lose our mind when things don't go our way, when things go slow. Everything in our culture is fast. And folks, I don't know about you, but I don't have much mind. I don't have enough mind to lose it to impatience. We hate delay. I heard of a furniture store that has a sign on its window that says, antiques while you wait. How does that happen? I guess you got to wait a long time. It was Max Lucado who said this, America, the country of shortcuts and fast lanes, we're the only nation on earth with a mountain called Rushmore, and our rushing around makes us impatient. Jesus said, do not run after the things of this world like the pagans, but boy, are we on a run, amen? The next reason I think we struggle with developing patience is because of our technology. We have computerized gadgets that work so quickly, and instead of slowing down our lives, do you know what our technology does? It just hurries it all up. Technology is impatient. One Calvin and Hobbes comic strip shows Calvin holding a microwave dinner and reading it on the side, and he says, it takes 6 minutes to microwave this. And then he says, who has time for that? 6 minutes to microwave something. And folks, that's the way our culture is. Think about ATMs. You know, when was the last time you went to an ATM and you thought, oh, come on, move. I want my money. I want it now. Remember when you used to have to stand in line at the bank to get your money? Remember when a 56K internet modem on your computer was fast? I know family who's, when their kids are in the basement, if they want to talk to their mom and dad, they call them on a cell phone because it's quicker than running upstairs. There's something wrong with that. Our technology is causing us to get hurried out. Proverbs 19:11 says, "Blessed is the wise man who learns to be patient." You see, it's something exterior to us that we have to gain inside. Now, why do we all think it's important to be patient, don't we? I've never known anybody, even the most impatient people I've known, they have an intrinsic understanding that it's important to be patient. And why does God want us to be patient with other people? Well, I think one of the reasons it is important is because it can improve all of our relationships. Can you imagine how much better marriages would be if we were more patient with our spouse? How many times has a lack of patience led to an argument or a misunderstanding? Not only as parents, but I know when I was younger, if I'd have been more patient, I'd have been a better father. One of the differences that in me being a grandfather today, I am 50 times more patient than I was with my kids, with my grandkids, than I am now with my kids. And I'm sure some of us would all be better parents, better spouses, better friends, if we were more patient. Read about a story of a man who noticed a woman in the grocery store, and she had a rambunctious little three-year-old with her in the cart. And as the mother passed the cookie section, the girl wanted cookies, and the mom said, "No, you can't have cookies." Well, she went nuts. Well, they went a couple more lanes, and the guy saw him again, this time in the candy aisle. And the little girl asked for candy, and the mama said, "No, you can't have any candy." And by the way, after she was finished with the cookie, she said, "Now, Missy, if you'll just settle down, we've only got half of the aisles to go. Everything's going to be okay." And they got to the candy aisle. Again, she went nuts. And the mom said, "Missy, just be patient. Just a couple more aisles, and we'll be at the checkout. But you all know what's at the checkout, don't you? You know, there ought to be a law against Kroger being able to put cookies and candy and crackers and stuff right there at the checkout. You know, and you're always tight where the kid can reach out and get it. Well, this three-year-old, she started reaching out for candy and gum, and mom says no, and she finds, "Now, Missy, we just got to the checkout lane, and just a few more minutes, and we'll go home, and Missy, you can have a bottle, and then you can take a nap." Well, the man who heard this followed him out into the parking lot, and he said, "I need to compliment you on your patience. I was just amazed at how patient you were with Missy." And she said, "No, you don't understand. My child's name isn't Missy. It's Francine. I'm Missy." What kind of bottle of nap is she going to get when she gets home? You know, patience would improve parenting skills. I'm sure that it would not only would we be better parents, but we'd be better friends if we were more patient. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 says that we are to be patient, bearing with one another in love. And the same verse can be applied for difficult people. Folks, all of us have difficult people in our lives. Those are the ones I call the crabgrass on our lawn of life. They're there. But with this particular patient, said, by the way, I'm selling you here. I'm a salesman. I always love it when people say, "Pastor Jeff, will you say something to God about the rain we're having, or we got too much snow?" I always look at them and say, "Look, I'm in the sales department. I'm not in management. And so I'm selling something to you here, how important it is for us to develop patience." Why? Because of what it will do for us and for everyone around us. 2 Timothy tells us to be patient, even with difficult people. I like how the way James puts it when talking about trials, because folks, let me tell you this, you will have trials. The question isn't if you will have trials, the question is when you will have trials. And notice when I say trials, it's got an S on the end. S means it makes something plural. Plural means more than one. And sometimes it's many more than one. I love what James says. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be," what? "Mature and complete, not lacking anything." And the word perseverance is similar to the word patience. It's saying that we must learn to be patient through trials so that we can become mature people. Someone once defined patience as a powerful attribute that enables a man or a woman to remain steadfast under strain and continue pressing on. Have you ever noticed that the more stressed out you are, the less patient you are? And patience is the most important, patience is also important because it makes us sensitive to God's will in our life. The great preacher Philip Brooks, who was noted for his poise and quiet manner. At times, however, he said he even suffered moments of frustration and irritability. One day, a friend saw him feverishly pacing the floor like a caged lion. He said, "What's going on with you? And what's the trouble?" And he said, "The trouble is I'm in a hurry and God isn't in a hurry." How many times has it been that way in your life and in my life? Also, like the way A.W. Tozer talks about patience, A.W. Tozer once said that the wheels of God's justice grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. And if you think that there won't be a day when all those difficulties in your life are going to be dealt with, they will. But don't forget, God has everything figured out. We just have to be patient to allow His will to work itself out. Patience is important because not only because it transforms relationships and transforms marriages and friendships and who we are as parents, but it transforms churches, by the way. I am absolutely certain that the church would be more effective with new believers if we had a little bit more patience. I know there would be less complaining and fewer arguments over small matters in the church if we just had more patience with each other. Romans chapter 5, verse 15 says, "May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with one another." Do you hear that? To live in complete harmony with one another requires patience. Well, how do we go about developing patience? Let me tell you, next week, well, we get the opportunity to look at patience number two. I'm going to give you some what I consider some real action steps in your life. I could keep you here all day talking about patience, but I've broken it into two, and I'm going to give you some real action steps next week on how to do that. So what I'm going to try to do is whet your appetite for that. How is it that we go about developing patience in our lives? Well, let me tell you this, dear friends. I believe it begins with remaining close to Jesus. See, one of the things I'm absolutely sure of, you will begin to talk like the people you hang out with. You will begin to act like the people you hang out with. You'll begin to eat like the people you hang out with. And if you hang out with Jesus, I can guarantee you, you are going to end up more patient. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing." And it's not just talking about the apple fruit or the pear fruit or the other fruit. It's talking about those fruits of the Spirit within us. And I have found that those fruits on the tree don't come unless the fruits inside are first taken care of. If you want to be patient, first rely on Christ to give it to us. Remain in him. Did you notice Romans 15 that it says that God who gives patience? Our human nature is not going to move us to be patient of our own. We must get patience from Jesus. And Jesus is the most patient of all persons that I have ever read about. See, I love the story about the last night before his life was taken from him, and he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He takes Peter, James, and John, and he says, "I'm going to go in here and I'm going to pray for an hour. I want you to stay out here and pray." And then he comes back and they're asleep. And you get the feeling, you know, he's bothered by that, but he doesn't, you know, rebuke them or doesn't he, but he just simply asks, "Could you not watch with me for 1 hour?" And then he says, "Watch and pray that you don't fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He was saying that, "The guys, this time of prayer with me is all about you. It's about you not falling into temptation. It's about your body not being weak. I know you want this, but I want you to abide in me. I want you to be here with me." So, dear friends, that's where it all begins if we want patience in our life. Then he goes back into the garden, and he doesn't say anything about them. They go back to sleep. Can you imagine, at the time of greatest stress in Jesus' life, he knew that he was going to be led away to be beaten and scourged. He knew that he was going to end up nailed to a cross. And in the most stressful time, he is able to be probably as patient as he ever was in his ministry. Why? Earlier in the Gospel of John, he talks about, as I abide in the Father, so you should abide in me. See, he's saying, I got that from Dad. And I want you to get this from me. And we need Jesus desperately to give us his perfect patience, a divine patience that I will guarantee will transform your life and my life. We must grow closer to him on a daily basis. That's where it all begins. And as I said, I'll give you some more practical steps this week, next week. The closer that we get to Jesus, the more of his patience will wear off on us. I have a good friend that tells a story, and I loved always how he told the story. He says, you know, if I take a white glove and I put it on my hand and I stick it into a bucket of mud, the mud never becomes glovey. The glove always becomes muddy. What would it be like if we would immerse our life in he who is perfect? We'd never have to worry about being muddy again. Or maybe as muddy as we find ourselves getting. To develop patience, the second thing we have to develop is this. We need to once again learn to be still. Carl Jung, and I don't like Carl Jung's theology, but he had something really important to say about hurry. He said, hurry is not of the devil, hurry is the devil. And we need to be disciplined enough to just stop sometimes and to say, I am not going to overdo it. We can't slow down. But let me tell you, if we don't, it will kill us. And dear friends, we should have an idea of what the scriptures say when it says, be still and know that I am God. John Ortberg is one of my favorite authors, and John writes these words. He says, again and again, as we pursue the spiritual life, we must battle hurry. For many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and so rushed and so preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. Dear friends, I don't know about you. I don't want a mediocre version of Christianity. It does me, it does you no good. I don't want a mediocre version of spirituality or of religion. You know, there are those that have jumped on the bandwagon and saying religion is a bad thing, but spirituality is okay. Well, let me tell you what, religion is a good thing because it's in our religion, rightly practiced, rightly taught, rightly practiced, that we are able to have the strength and the courage to stand side by side, hand in hand with one another and become the people that God has called us to be. That's what the next series is about. Take a look at your bulletin. You know, the bulletin, look at the title of the next series, Going Beyond Good Intentions, Becoming Who We Desire to Be. Folks, we all have good intentions. And it begins in this series. You know, that's why we put these things together the way we put them together. It begins by stepping out of the fast lane of our life and going beyond the good intention of being the person that God wants us to be. And let me tell you, dear friends, it begins with desiring and developing patience. You want to be courageous? You're going to have to learn to be patient. You want to be merciful? You're going to have to learn to be patient. You want to have diligence in your life and surrender and repentance and service and true obedience? It all begins, dear friends, not with a mediocre faith, but with one that says, I want to be fully in Jesus, and fully in Jesus develop the fruits of his Spirit. I'm looking forward to next week, and I'm looking forward to this next series. By the way, I'm looking forward to the one after that, because we got another one and another one after that prepared that will take us step by step into the place where God would have us to be. Come along with me. It's a wonderful ride. Next week, patience 2. Will you bow with me in prayer? Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to share these words today and to know, O God, they are your truth. That we cannot be patient unless we abide in you. That we cannot be the people that we were intended to be, obedient and in service and merciful, unless we abide in you. And that is the beginning of patience. Lord, this morning during this time of invitation, I pray that if there is someone here who would desire to pray that they be able to develop this desire to be close to you and to abide in you and you in us, Lord, I pray that you would give them the strength to walk this aisle and to pray with myself or with Pastor Dennis. Lord, as we stand and sing, I pray that we not get lost in the song, but we get lost in the spirit of the words and the call of your spirit upon our lives. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Touch our hearts, I pray. All of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our invitation hymn is Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. The best place to find the beginning of your chains being gone is right here at the altar. So if you have a prayer need, won't you please come as we stand together and sing.
Father, for the opportunity to be together, to worship together, to praise your name, to hear the and sing the songs of praise and to hear your word. We thank you. Now, God, as we go out, tough thing to do is to be patient. We know as we go out, our patience are going to be tried. But keep us, remind us of the words that you've given to us today through Pastor Jeff. And help us to be loving and patient and wise. Dismiss us now from this service of worship with your blessing, for it's in your name that we pray. Amen.